Chairman Crafton Heights, New Columbo. Beloved Disney character, Alan writes, that's Jumbo, right? No? Oh, Alice, tell me. I don't know what it is. Alice is shaking his head. Wait, Jumbo. Once again, Alice to the rescue on the pop culture. I don't know. Alice, technical associate with SLB. Wait, now don't tell me right. Oh, I know. I messed up my consonants, right? It's, I should let you give the answer.
It's, Dumbo.
Dumbo, the elephant, right?
Yeah.
That's kind of insulting to all elephants to call him Dumbo.
Yeah, I mean, it was originally an insult, I thought, so.
Yeah, and was there, was no gumbo.
Gumbo?
Yeah, no gumbo. Gumbo in Disney.
No, not that I can think of.
No, I should have known Dumbo. Do you wanna try one?
Like a clue, or
do you know the garden fixture?
The garden fixture.
Something you would find in a garden. You might sit under it.
Gazebo.
There you go. Very good. What about an automotive performance feature?
Turbo.
I knew. All right. What about a Latin American seasoning? I'm not sure about this one.
An American seasoning?
This one was just, I mean, I believe Ricky. But, yeah, there it is. From the Philippine seasoning, a Filipino seasoning. Okay, it also says Spanish in this.
I don't cook enough to know that one, I think.
Okay, we'll see if anybody else knows it. That's the good thing. What about having your hands on your hip, like your posture, hands on hips? These are tough ones. I'll give you a hint. It ends in the sound of bow.
You know, I would have never thought. Oh, man.
They sometimes say legs this or arms this. I'm going to have to give the answer to that one. That's akimbo.
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 I hear akimbo. I think guns akimbo.
Guns akimbo.
Yeah.
Flung out or turned outward. Mm. The other one, the seasoning, if I'm pronouncing it correctly, adobo. Chad, I'm looking at Chad, who's the culinary expert here, and I can't believe the clock. It moved pretty quickly. There's some text messages that I will acknowledge momentarily. Thank you, Ellis. Broadcasting live from historic Allegheny Square, along with Ellis Dorham and Chad Green and Ricky Berger. This is Larry Berger, and this is the show that gets your weekend off to a good start, the Saturday Light Brigade. Saturday mornings at WRCT Pittsburgh, WIUP FM, Indiana, WMCO, New Concord, KRDP, Apache Junction, Goldfield, Ghost Town, Phoenix, WSHJ FM, Grove City, WCUC FM, Clarion, WNJR, Washington, Tube City, online at WMCK.FM McKeesport and SLBRadio.org/radio, where you can listen through our own player that's there, as well as through links you'll find there to tune in Simple Radio Streama and Radio Garden. What a busy morning it's been. Thank you for being here with us. We're going to answer, make sure we answer a few of those puzzles that we have not given you the answers for. And then Richie is going to join us. Thank you. thank you for sticking around with this hour. Ricky just looked at me straight in the eye and said, mumbo jumbo. And I kind of looked at her quizzically. See, I like to stay in the present. I forgot we were playing this game already. Mumbo jumbo is quite good. Full credit. Jim in Blackridge had hobo for the freight train rider. John in Grove City, a body part that starts with a letter. That would be elbow. Very good. We're putting bows on things. Now, Bill, number five is his clue. Number five. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Ending in B. Richie, you think I just saw this look on Richie's face like he might know it.
I don't know what's happening at all.
We're looking for words ending in B, the sound of bow. Number five. I have no idea. Bill, let us know. Jim in Blackridge has mambo. Mike has, I should know this one, bonobo?
An ape.
That's the simian. I did not know that. The little things, I know. Mike and Mars also knew that. Jim and Blackridge. Mick had hobo. And Gina in Greenfield, hello. Everybody knew bonobo but me, it would seem. Jim also knew Dumbo. Jim and Blackridge. Jim and Crafton Heights has bonobo. Adobo for Mike and Brighton Heights and Alan. Mike also had a Kimbo. And I think Susie had a Kimbo. Oh, mambo number five. Thank you. I would never and did never get that. A boyfriend, as in beau. That word is the answer. And I think just two more. Bill has mambo. You know, these days when you dictate to your phone to share your answers with us, and this happens to me all the time, you get some really interesting unintentional words sometimes. It's better than autocorrect. You just heard the voice, the other voice in the studio of Richie Gazansky. Richie's going to join us in just a moment. He's a student at Pittsburgh Kappa. He's also one of our Youth Media Center members, and we're going to talk a little bit about what he's doing here at the Youth Media Center and about other activities that's coming up here at the Saturday Light Brigade. I mentioned that Richie Gazanski is here, and Felix Dreyer, who is a student at City Charter High School, was also supposed to be here, but he's really sick. And if you're tuned in, Felix, I hope you're feeling better soon. We're going to talk with Richie about a couple of things. First, you think I didn't know much about some of the answers that Richie just had, like Bonobo a second ago, that came to him instantly. I know very little about today's Dungeons and Dragons. I remember Dungeons and Dragons from when I was a teen, and it was mostly played on mainframe computers. You sat and waited, literally at a teletype. You'd put in a move and it would come back. That was one way to play, but that was the most common way that I remember. But it's totally different now. And not only is it that, but I've seen this growing group of people that play every Wednesday night at our youth media center. I often think if there's something I don't know the full backstory on, it maybe is possible that you don't either. So I wanted to start just by talking with Richie a little bit about it. Can you sort of, I know it's a role-playing game, but can you break it down a bit?
Sure. Dungeons & Dragons is a tabletop role-playing game with, it uses so many dice. It uses, sometimes there's a map that has a bunch of little squares or hexagons that you move your little guys around on. And mostly it uses the theater of the mind. You have one dungeon master who's in charge of the story, essentially. You have a bunch of players who are the ones that are playing the game, obviously. They are, they take the form of their player characters. They have their character sheets have six stats on them. There's strength, there's constitution, there's charisma, there's dexterity, there's wisdom, and there's intelligence. The last two are separate things for reasons that nobody is entirely sure of, but they always have been, and it seems like they always will be.
And those are boundaries that you must stay within for your character, or at least characteristics that define who you are?
Those are just about the only boundaries, yeah.
Very cool. And so, I like the idea of theater of the mind. How do you, is it turns, or how do you interact with the other players?
Well, when you're in combat, there are turns, but for the most part, it's just the way you would interact with people in a group if you were actually doing this. It's, you're all doing stuff at the same time. You're all interacting with each other and the environment around you in theoretically the way you would were you actually there.
Very cool. So it is, you know, I listen, and Richie's part of a podcast called The Dice Bag, which we'll talk about too. The first time I listened to The Dice Bag, and I don't know if you know that I do listen if I'm not on site here. If I'm at home, I'm often tuned in at home. They're great. And the first one I listened to, my reaction was, this is like a radio drama. These guys are playing characters. There's a plot. There's a story. It is exciting because it could go just about anywhere. And your actors, as yeah. you do it, portraying these characters. And it's really fun. How did you get into it?
Oh, boy. Well, the first time I tried to get into it was when I was in, like, third grade, and my dad got one of the really old versions of D&D, which we are technically 5.5 versions in, but there are so many in between. But my dad gets one of the really old versions, and we try to play, and I do not have the attention span for that. And then nothing comes of that at all until ninth grade when my friend tells me about it again. And then I completely devote my mind to that for the next half a year until we actually start playing. And I've been unable to undevote my mind to that since. And here we are.
I imagine, I mean, in addition to being a fun way to pass the time and to possibly probably always end up somewhere where you never expected to end up. There's probably things, are there things you find yourself saying or doing or places you end up going that you never expected to get to?
Oh, definitely. Especially the campaign we do here on Wednesdays, which is very unusual because we have a rotating cast of people coming in, and there's a lot of people, and RDM Grace, very fun and chaotic, and we have wound up so many places we did not think we would, and we made concussion bees, a canon thing that exists, which are bees that if they sting you, they either concuss you, or if you're already concussed, they unconcuss you, which is just a thing that exists now, we decided.
That part of the atmosphere or the theater of the mind you're in,
yep,
are these concussion bees. That's an interesting thought, to say the least. What's your major at Kappa?
I am in theater.
I'm not surprised,
yep,
because this is, I watched you take the leadership from the broadcast standpoint during the first podcast, and you're amazing at being able to bring people together. Some of the people, though, in the group are not, I don't think, are theater majors, and maybe perhaps a little less comfortable with self-expression, or maybe not. Has this brought about changes in people, do you think, in terms of how they interact, or has it stretched acting abilities?
I would say it definitely has, and I mean, the radio show definitely has, I think, helped make everyone more comfortable performing like this, but I think Dungeons & Dragons in general can definitely do that because, you know, you're more comfortable performing if you're behind a mask, so to speak, and I think because everybody in a D&D group, except including the DM, because you have your non-player characters, because everyone in a D&D party is mutually acting like these characters, it is essentially a mask for everyone, and that helps you, I think, perform, and it can definitely help you become more comfortable doing stuff like that.
This is Richie Gazanski, who is one of the teams that's part of our Youth Media Center. He doesn't just get involved in the D&D activity we're talking about. He was a summer counselor at the camps we offered, and quite a good one, I might add. And he's... what other stuff have you done here?
Oh, boy. I do... most Tuesdays, I do the workshops. I have the radio show on Mondays. I have D&D on Wednesdays. I can't make it to open mic night on Thursdays because that's when my therapy / ADHD coaching is. And I also do the workshops some Saturdays. And I'm never going to leave.
Yeah, I always love seeing you here because you're just an incredibly creative person. Is this your senior year?
No, junior year.
Ah, I always get this look of delight on my face because it means we won't lose you. At least, I don't, not that I think we would after your senior year.
Oh, yeah, no, you're never getting rid of me. I am staying.
Yeah, it's, talking about drama and theater, is that an interest you had, you know, as a kid, or how did that crystallize in you?
This is a fun story. I think it always has been an interest that I had, but in first grade, I had the same teacher from first to third grade, Miss Wright. She is a legend. I love her dearly. She would always have us do, like, incredibly, like, watered-down versions of Shakespeare plays every year, And the first year, in first grade, we were doing The Tempest. And I get cast as Prospero. He's the wizard guy. He's one of the main characters. And that's really exciting. And I'm Prospero number three. Now, I'm the third of three Prosperos. And Prospero 1 gets the first third of the play, and then Prospero 2 gets the second third of the play, so I assume I will get the last third of the play. Nope, I get one line, and then it goes back to Prospero 2. So that convinces me, okay, Miss Wright must see something I don't. I must not be great at acting, so I'm just gonna go for minor roles forever now. Flash forward to the seventh grade. I do not realize I have ADHD quite yet, so I'm being loud and obnoxious, but our middle school musical that year happened to be Matilda Jr., and our music teacher, who also runs the musicals, Mrs. Sani, sees me being loud and obnoxious and decides, okay, he should play Miss Trunchbull. So she gets me to audition for that, and I get the part, and I realize, okay, yep, nope, that's what my life is now, and I'm going to be doing this forever, and here we are.
That's something. So teachers who see something in you, encouraged you to do that. What schools were these? Also Pittsburgh Public?
No, this was Falk Lab School.
Oh, that's a great school. We've done work there in the past. It's been a long time, and that's a great place, as is Kappa, to discover a lot of things about yourself. Have you thought about life after high school? I'm sure you have.
But yep.
Do you have any ideas about what you might want to do?
I have a pretty solid plan that my parents disagree with, which is go to, right now I'm mainly looking at Ithaca College. Go there 4 years. I would love to dual major in theater studies and film, then come back to Pittsburgh and work at SLB until I can save up enough to properly open a film studio and do that forever.
I don't want to go against your parents, but I like the sound of that. Would they rather see you pursue a different kind of field? Or
it's the double majoring in the arts that has them worried, which, fair enough.
Yeah, it's... Well, you got time to figure that out. I think it's tough. I think you know this, but I'm bringing this up for others who might be listening. People think that one decision you make at 17 or 18 about what happens after high school is irreversible and will the rest of your entire life will be based on what that decision was. Everything that follows. I know I thought that, and it's anything but that. You know, there's so many choices and things that you can do. Do you have any holiday plans? Are you visiting family, or are they coming to visit you?
Yep. Every year we go down to Florida to visit my mom's side of the family, because all of them live in Florida, except for us, who, believe it or not, do not live in Florida, and my Aunt Susie, who lives up in Oregon and can occasionally make it.
That sounds wonderful. Are you down in southern Florida where you're assured you'll have nice warm weather?
Oh boy, I do not know geography, but I think we're in a warm part.
Do you know the city?
Fort Myers?
Yeah, oh, that's very nice. That there's some places, Jacksonville or along the panhandle, that, well, they're certainly better than what we're dealing with today. Mm-hmm. If you like warm weather. Do you have a silly question, but do you have a favorite season or least favorite season?
Oh boy, I am a fall guy. Best season. My least favorite season is the spring, because it cannot decide whether it wants to be really nice or really miserable, and it seems to be leaning more towards really miserable, and there's like one good week where all the flowers are happening, and then it goes back to raining relentlessly, and then it's summer.
Yeah, my least favorite is summer, and I don't know why. It should be my favorite, but I think I don't like how constant summer is. It's nothing changes.
Yeah.
I like fall, as you do. And spring, for the most part, except I know what you mean, it sometimes seems to be you go from the end of winter straight to summer and spring, so short. Plenty of time. I was curious. I want to get back to the dice bag and Richie Gazanski, who we're talking with. Before we talk about the Dice Bag podcast, I don't know what the dice are for. I know the dice are these bizarro multi-sided dice. Mm-hmm. I don't think they're necessarily, there's probably multiple variations of dice you could use.
Yep, there are. Okay. A standard Dungeons & Dragons dice set includes 7 dice. There is one standard 6-sided die. There's a 4-sided die. That's a weird one that looks like a triangle and everyone hates the design of. There's the D10. There's the D12. There's the D100, but it's just a D10 with, instead of 0 through 9, it's 10 through 90, and you roll them together to get a number 1 through 100. There's the D20, which is the main one, and I think that's all of them.
And you roll those for what purpose?
Well, the main one you're going to be rolling is the D20, 20-sided die. That is to determine, say you're in an ancient temple and something feels off, and you're trying to determine what. DM would have you maybe roll a perception check or an arcana check. You would roll your d20, you would take whatever number you roll, then you look at your character sheet. As I mentioned before, there's a bunch of modifiers. There's strength, dexterity, constitution, charisma, intelligence, wisdom. Each of those have an effect on different types of skill checks, like a perception check. You would add whatever modifier you get from that to your die roll, and that determines how well you do at it. Then the rest of the dice are primarily used in combat, like for different weapons, you would roll different dice to determine damage. And then the D10 and the D100 together are called percentile dice, and you can roll those to determine something off a table. Like for sorcerers, there's this thing called wild magic, where if you roll a 1 on your 20-sided die when you're trying to cast a spell, then you have to roll a percentile dice to determine off a table something that also happens when you do that.
What I love about this most is there are rules, constraints, traditions, whatever you want to call them, but then there's this gonzo improvisational part of it, where anything goes.
Yep.
And you mesh the two and anything can happen within that, and it's really fun to listen to. Folks can hear the podcast if you go to the Dice Bag. If you Google the Dice Bag SLB, it'll show up. We've linked to it at, well, I think it's on our SLB Radio YouTube page,
but it's on a separate YouTube.
Oh, tell me.
Yes, YouTube.com/@SLB Dice Bag. Currently, only the first episode is uploaded. Over break, more of them will be. We're like 9 episodes in now, I want to say.
That's great. So as people listen, one of the things that I always fear or want to be certain of when I do something like this is I don't want it to be too inside or for people to feel like they can't relate to it as they listen because they don't know you and others. I think people would enjoy listening to it and could step in at any point. Would you agree?
I certainly hope people would enjoy listening to it. But I think that's a lot of the magic of doing this with D&D in particular, which is you don't need to know us necessarily, you just need to get to know our characters. And I think, you know, throughout the adventures we go on, you will definitely get to do that if I can ever get around to putting the episodes up on YouTube.
Oh, you'll get there.
I'll get there eventually.
It takes time. I really appreciate your leadership and how much you have been giving us, you know, feedback on what we do here and helping us to hone things. We've got just about a minute left. Is there anything else you wanted to say that you didn't get any room to say?
Come down to SLB Radio Youth Media Center. We have such things as workshops and D&D and open mic night on Thursdays and sometimes other things and sometimes not those things because we go on winter break for 3 weeks straight and I have nothing to do help.
Well, we'll have Joseph take note of that. Well, hopefully your Florida trip will be good. Thank you for coming down this morning. It's great to have you on the air with us.
Thank you so much for having me.
Thanks. That's Richie, and a pleasure to have him with us. Richie Kosansky, broadcasting live from historic Allegheny Square. Along with Ricky Berger, this is Larry Berger, and this is the show that gets your weekend off to a good start, the Saturday Light Brigade Saturday Mornings from SLB Radio Productions.
Amber called her uncle, said we're up here for the holiday. Jane and I were having solstice, now we need a place to stay. And her Christ-loving uncle watched his wife hang Mary on a tree. He watched his son hang candy canes all made with red dye number three. He told his niece it's Christmas Eve. I know our life is not your style. She said, Christmas is like solstice and we miss you and it's been a while. So the Christians and the pagans sat together at the table, finding faith and common ground the best that they were able. Just before the meal was served, hands were held and prayers were said, sending hope for peace on earth to all their gods and goddesses. The food was great, the tree plugged in, the meal had gone without a hitch, till Timmy turned to Amber and said, is it true that you're a witch? His mom jumped up and said, the pies are burning, and she hit the kitchen, and it was Jane who spoke. She said, it's true, your cousin's not a Christian. But we love trees, we love the snow, the friends we have, the world we share, and you find magic from your God, and we find magic everywhere. So the Christians and the pagans sat together at the table, finding faith and common ground, the best that they were able. Where does magic come from? I think magic's in the learning. Cause now when Christians sit with pagans, only pumpkin pies are burning. When Amber tried to do the dishes, her aunt said, really, no, don't bother. Amber's uncle saw how Amber looked like him and like her father. He thought about his brother, how they hadn't spoken in a year. He thought he'd call him up and say, it's Christmas and your daughter's here. He thought of father, sons, and brothers, saw his own son tug his sleeve, saying, can I be a pagan? Dad said, we'll discuss it when they leave. So the Christians and the pagans sat together at the table, finding faith and common ground, the best that they were able. Lighting trees in darkness, learning Lewis from the old, and making sense of history and drawing warmth out of the cold.
With the solstice coming up, we've had a lot of requests for that song. And with Christmas coming up, that's Star Williams with a very popular song of hers, The Christians and the Pagans. Thank you for being with us today, and in a moment, you're going to get to meet two members of the Warhols teen group. that works in a leadership role to make sure that the Warhol is in touch with the area teams. They are part of what's called the Youth Arts Council. We'll talk about what it does, an event they just had, and an event that's coming up, among other things.
A-Plus Schools joins you in supporting the Saturday Light Brigade. The mission of A-Plus Schools is to eliminate chronic absence in Pittsburgh city schools so that every kid can show up ready to learn in every school, every day. A-Plus Schools 2025 Report to the Community provides a thorough and objective look at Pittsburgh's public and charter schools, offering families, community organizations, policymakers, and concerned citizens critical data about student achievement, student growth, school climate, teaching, and more. A copy of this report and more information about A-Plus Schools is available at ourschoolspittsburgh.org.
We are in the midst of our year-end donor drive, and if you've already contributed, thank you. If you have not, I hope you'll consider doing so. We have heard from about 160 donors so far, with a total, actually about 170 donors, with a total approaching $45,700. So we're within, what about $5,300 of making it to $50,000. We don't need to look at those big numbers so much as how all of us as individuals working together can help make sure that we have a radio program like the Saturday Light Brigade. Our Youth Media Center continues to operate, that we have oral history programs, summer camps, free after school and Saturday activities for teens, and all that I hope you have a good idea about. If you've already supported us, thank you. If not, this is why we have campaigns such as this. If you've been meaning to make a contribution, maybe you never have, this is the perfect first time way to do it, or to renew a contribution. We're all set up. Ricky literally has a stack of forms beside her to securely take information by phone, if that is your preference. Our website is also ready to go, where you can make a contribution by any credit card, PayPal, or Venmo at slbradio.org/donate. Thank you to Laura and Alan of Squirrel Hill for your support. In Glenshaw, we thank Terry and Kathy. Ruth in Greenfield, thanks for your support. Ben and Norma, also of Squirrel Hill. Lori and David in Jacksonville, Oregon. Denise in Homestead. Ken and Colleen in Point Breeze. Maury in Pittsfield, New Jersey. Among, oh my goodness, Oshkosh, Wisconsin, from Wayne and Brenda. And a few more Pittsburghers, Jeffrey from 15215, and Ken and Jane from O'Hara Township or Fox Chapel. And Megan and Jason, we appreciate your support. This is the perfect time to make a donation. If you're looking for a quick way to do it, simply call us at 412-200-5975 or 1-888-752-7234. Or I'll give you our address in just a moment to send a check, or you can go to slbradio.org/donate.
The Saturday Light Brigade is made possible with support from individual listeners like you, who believe that great live radio makes a difference in daily life and in our community. Information on how you can support the Saturday Light Brigade is available at slbradio.org/donate.
And you can also send a check directly to SLB P.O. Box 10092, Pittsburgh 15233. I was going to apologize to Romina and Quincy, but Quincy knows what this is all about. I know Quincy does. Could each of you introduce yourself just so folks get to know you a little better?
Hi, yeah, I'm Quincy Sauter. I am a 12th grader at Winchester Thurston School, and I've been in the Warhol's Youth Arts Council for 3 years, so since I was a sophomore.
That's a long time to be doing that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Hi, I'm Romy. I'm a junior at Winchester Thurston, and I've been in the Warhol's Youth Art Council. This is my second year now, so I joined sophomore year.
Now, both of you are incredibly busy. I know you have to be. It's, high school, you're both actively involved in things, yet you've made time to be part of the Warhol Youth Council. Tell me more about that, why you made that decision.
Yeah, I think for me, I've always loved art museums and the Warhol in particular with all the pop art things. And a friend of mine from school was like, oh, you should get involved in this. Like, it's really fun. And I keep coming back because it just feels like such kind of like a break from other stresses, like school and thinking of applying to college. But once a week we just go to the Warhol and we like create decorations and we plan for these events and meet artists, and it's just a really great like way to be involved in something that's like kind of less stressful.
What about for you, Romy?
Yeah, I agree with Quincy. It really is a great way to get involved, especially with a community and with all these teens. And you keep coming back to it because it really feels like a community. It doesn't feel like a lot of tedious tasks that you're doing. It feels like you're working towards something greater.
One thing, you just completed a youth fashion show and winter teen night. I'm really curious what went into planning that, but also what the evening was like.
Yeah, I think that we started meeting for this school year. We started meeting in September, I think.
Mm-hmm, September.
Yeah, and from the get-go, we were thinking about themes for this winter teen night and activities. So we always have lots of artistic activities to do, like screen printing, and we also had some like headband making, and there was live music, and just thinking about all of those things.
That had to be fun. What about the fashion part of it? How maybe you're already aware of people in your circles that are designing and creating, but to me that would be a challenge to curate, or I think it would be. Was it, and how did you do it?
It's definitely a challenge in the sense that getting people to sort of getting the word out. Okay. It definitely is a challenge, but again, it's always word of mouth. That's how I see it. When I talk to people, that's how it gets out to them. But it's been a yearly tradition, so also that keeps having people coming back to it.
Yeah, and I think we're super lucky to be Heather White, who is a teacher at Kappa, but she's also works at the Warhol and helps out with the Youth Arts Council, and she is able to relay the word super, super well because there's so many incredible like artists and designers at Kappa. So I think that a lot of our, a lot of people comes through them. And yeah, every year it's this just incredible show. It's like, I think the theme this year was like recycled mm-hmm. fashion and like kind of just like making something with like upcycling.
Oh, cool. Yeah. So there might be a call for artists to meet a certain or to meet certain criteria, not necessarily just bring something you designed, but bring something you designed that is blue or is upcycled.
Yeah, totally. I know we had like things from made from like old cans and like things like that, and things I think made from like newspaper.
Newspaper. Last year there was this girl who had this beautiful dress and it was all made out of newspaper. I asked her and she said it took her like 4 months to make it.
I think I know who that is. I think her name is escaping me right now, but I think she's sat right where you are. She's active in Carnegie Library of Pittsburgh's teen media program, and that's pretty cool. Any guys coming in designing stuff? I notice there often tend to be more women designers that come forward. You're nodding your head, Quincy.
Well, I think that I honestly feel like we have a good mix at for the youth fashion show, and I know that there are definitely some guys in like high school designers. There's one kid who goes to Kappa. He's a senior. His name is Greg Kelly, and he's super active in like fashion and designing and screen printing things. And I believe he just got into some crazy fashion school in London. So there definitely, there definitely are male designers who are part of this.
Yeah, and I'm always, I feel very comfortable expressing myself, but it's not like everything has to have perfect representation or anything. But I'm often curious because I know there are good designers in rural areas, in urban areas, of all genders, and of it. I don't see as many guys, and I don't. I'm not sure why. I'm happy to hear that you're seeing all sorts of folks. Did any other works you saw during this evening really strike you?
I think being at the Warhol, there was a lot of like screen printing, but I think that there were also like many things that people were talking about, like the materials that they got that they either thrifted or like found in other places and found new uses for them. I know there was like I think it was like a skirt, maybe a shirt, like made out of ties and like old neckties from thrift stores and things like that. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That would be fun to do that. Do either of you do fashion?
I not really. I've tried to learn to sew before, but I'm not very good at it.
Yeah, no. I definitely admire the people who do it, but not me.
I was looking to try to find the name of the person we were just talking about, and she is escaping me. People would have to listen to me do web searches over and over to find this person. But her work is really great. She's made these incredible dresses. Well, coming up, you've got an annual event that I've really enjoyed. I've never attended because it's not for me, but I've had a chance to hear it because we've covered it in the past with our microphones. It's the Youth Invasion, and I love it because the Warhol, it kind of becomes a no adult zone. It's taken over by youth. It's coming up this spring. Can you talk a bit about that?
Yeah, we're having it in May. Do we know the
dates? I think May 8th it is going to be. Yes.
Yeah, there will definitely be a lot of advertising, but it's one of the bigger events that the Youth Arts Council gets to plan. The Winter Teen Night is a smaller one and a lot. It's less hours. I think it's two. Is it two?
Yeah. The Winter Teen Night is definitely shorter. Mm-hmm. Youth Invasion, I think, goes later into the night.
And we have the rest of the year to start planning. There's a lot more decorations. There's a theme.
Yes, last year it was bug themed. So instead of Youth Invasion, it was Youth Infestation. So we'll be deciding the theme and working on that. We also will have, we had live music for Winter Teen Night, but it'll be on an even greater scale for Youth Invasion with more bands and more artists, all teens who are like up and coming musicians in the Pittsburgh area. So, yeah. Mm-hmm.
That'll be a lot of fun. So you have to book the musicians and figure out the whole tone of the evening. I imagine you've got to plan food and all those things. How can people attend, youth attend?
Yeah, it's a free event. So once we start advertising, I'm sure we'll be back here to talk about it again. And there will also be things posted on the Warhol. You can register online, but you'll also be able to just show up, I believe. It's meant to really engage the youth community and not have any financial barriers. So it's very inclusive and just a fun place to be.
Yeah. No, there's really no pressure to even sign up. I think we get a lot less like digital signups than we do kids who come in person. Again, no barriers.
Yeah, and that's really important. I think some people might say, that's an art museum and these kids are probably part of a clique and I'm not going to mesh well and never mind. The Youth Arts Council has always struck me as a very welcoming group, and the programs at the Warhol, while those that are designed for teens are designed for teens explicitly, they're still super welcoming, it seems.
Yeah, I think that's very Warhol as well, to be like, because I think a lot of people think of art museums is more maybe pretentious, but Warhol's whole thing was like taking like household objects and elevating them to like this fine art status and discussing that. So I think the fact that we are so inclusive is very fitting.
Yeah, he's a genius. It takes a while sometimes to wrap your head around what he was all about. I even think of the kind of interviews he would do for the magazine he operated and the way he carried himself out. So you can go to warhol.org. It's simply warhol.org to learn more about the Youth Arts Council. Sydney Rice is the name of the designer that I don't know if she's the one you were thinking of. That was really bugging me. So
yes, I remember her from last year. She's incredible.
Yeah, she's absolutely amazing. And I wanted to be sure I gave her flowers, so to speak, because she's amazing. Anything else you'd like to say about the Warhol?
I think if you are a teen also who is interested in getting involved with the Youth Arts Council, we have applications at the beginning of every school year. I believe it's for teens specifically, like from like 15. So when you're a sophomore in high school, you can do it till you're a senior. So if you're interested at all, apply. Like, it's a super welcoming community, and there'll probably be applications open like next August, I think.
Yeah, next August. We also have every Wednesday, we have what's it called?
Oh, Youth Open Studios. Yes, at Artist Image Resource. So it in the north side, I believe. Yeah. So it's, if you want to get into screen printing, you don't need any experience, you can come and screen print your own designs for free onto paper and t-shirts and things like that.
That's great. And Artist Image Resources has the capability of these large scale, oversized graphics that you can make there too. And people that really would be good mentors or coaches to help you learn how
completely,
to do that.
Yeah.
I didn't realize that went through the Warhol.
So yeah, it's super, super cool program and everything. It's great.
So, what would you? Here's my off-the-wall question. Do either of you have a New Year's wish?
Ooh,
that's a good question.
It does not. It can be big. It can be small. It doesn't have to be earth-changing, or it could be.
I think for me, as a senior in high school, just getting into, because I'm applying to colleges right now, and just getting into a school that I'm happy and excited about, I guess, would be my New Year's wish for myself.
It'd be nice to have that behind you.
Yes,
that
yeah.
whole process. What about you, Romy?
Ooh, that's a tough one. But I think I just, this next year, I really just want to keep doing my homework, staying on task. Maybe a simple one, but junior year is, it's a big load. And there's a lot of projects, there's a lot of work. So, time management.
I couldn't agree more. Well, thank you. That's Romy Castro and Quincy Sauter. Good luck. Come back when it's time to talk about the youth invasion or anytime. It's good to see you here. More details at warhol.org. Ruffins with a song for the season. Thank you for all the kind words about our traditional holiday show together. We've got a Lambert Hendricks and Ross song coming up in a moment, broadcasting live from historic Allegheny Square along with Ricky Berger. This is Larry Berger, and this is the show that gets your weekend off to a good start, the Saturday Light Brigade, Saturday mornings at WRCT Pittsburgh, WIUP FM Indiana, WMCO New Concord, KRDP Apache Junction, Goldfield Ghost Town, Phoenix, WSAJ FM Grove City, WCUC FM Clarion, WNJR Washington, WKYW LP Kaiser, West Virginia, Mountain Streams Radio.org, Tube City Online at WMCK.FM, Keysport, and SLB Radio